I'm thankful to the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak with you and study the Word of God together this evening. Hopefully I can do half as good a job as Jeremy did this morning, man. You did awesome. Thank you so much for that lesson. It was amazing, so thank you. I was looking forward to Mr. Klein not being here tonight, but he is here. He made a surprise appearance in the back. And so I was about to take off this pesky ear mic and give it to him, but he wouldn't accept it, so I had to take it. I'm going to try and use a PowerPoint tonight. I am notorious, usually, I don't know if I've said this here before, but I'm notorious for not keeping up with my PowerPoints as I'm preaching. So hopefully tonight I can follow and keep up with my PowerPoints and not get lost in what I'm saying. But we'll try. What if I can get it to turn it on first? All right. I want to thank Paul also for leading songs on Unity, wherever you are. I can't see you. And that last song is perfect, falls right in line with what I'm going to talk about tonight. And as you can see, I've entitled this lesson. I had a hard time finding exactly what I wanted to talk or what I wanted to entitle this lesson as. But this is kind of what I settled on: the need for every member, younger or old. And I don't know how well you can see. That's pretty small. 1 Corinthians 12:27 I have written up there. Let me ask this question: what value do we find in one another? You know, oftentimes our attitudes toward the generation below or above us can cause us to go so far as having a nasty division between us and between what should be a unified body. And our attitude and the way we look at those ahead of us, those who are older than us, and maybe the way that we look at those who are younger than us, creates this division. And that's why I entitled this lesson, and that's what I want to look at this evening. And I want us to look at what value do we find in those that are younger than us, and what value do we find in those that are older than us. Now, this lesson was inspired particularly by a conversation that I had just the other day with one of the elders here at this congregation. And it encouraged me and helped me see the value that we can find in the age differences that we have. And that's what I want to look at tonight. I want us to examine our attitude about it, and I want us to look at what benefit we can gain from one another. So first, I want to talk about the need of the young for the old. What we need from you. That's what I want us to look at. We need your example. Paul appealed to Timothy a few times, in his letter in 2 Timothy to follow what Paul had taught him, the example that Paul had taught him. Look at some of these passages. I don't want to read all of these, but I wanted to list just a few. But look at particularly chapter 3, verse 10, and we're going to read through verse 15. Says, and Paul is commending Timothy here. He says, "Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred things, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So Paul is encouraging Timothy in these verses in chapter 1, verse 13, and chapter 2, verse 2. And then here in 3, 10 through 15, he's saying to Timothy, keep doing what you learned from me. And keep teaching and staying within the teaching that you have always been taught. But notice, look in verse 14. It says, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned it. Here I am getting caught behind. The example of those who taught Timothy confirmed, convinced him of the truth. And that's the point I want to make here. As Paul is saying, remember what you've been taught. Remember who taught them to you. Remember the lives that they lived. Remember how they lived out that truth in their life and how that confirmed to you the truthfulness of what they have taught. And the same holds true today. We need the example of those older than us who have taught us all our lives what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple. We need that example to follow and to be confirmed in the truth. Now, if we have older people who in the congregation are maybe hypocritically living, scarcely coming to services, or scarcely going out and serving others, scarcely doing the work of God, how in our minds is that going to convince us and convict us of the truth? We need that example. We need that example. As young people, though, are we striving to learn from the example of our elders? Are you looking at the people who are around you? Are you examining them? Are you watching them? Are you trying to learn from them? Are you talking to them and asking them how to be better? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. We need the example of the older members here. And as young people, we need to be looking to their example. Second point I want to make is we need the counsel of older people in the congregation. Now, Solomon constantly appealed in Proverbs through the first nine chapters of the book are kind of this dialogue going on between Solomon and his son. And really, in every chapter up until chapter 8, he starts that discussion of wisdom and the illustration of wisdom and folly. But up until chapter 8, he mentions all of these times that I have up here in Proverbs, once in Proverbs 1 and chapter 2, chapter 3, pretty much all of chapter 4, chapter 5, 6, and 7, how that his son needs to cling to his teaching. Hold it. He says, tie it around your neck. Bind it. Write it on the tablet of your heart. He's making this appeal to his son. Listen to my counsel. Hold on to it. Value it. Make it something that's important to you. We need the counsel of our elders. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. 15:22, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. 19:20, listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. How can we look at those passages and how can we look at the book of Proverbs at all and say that we don't need the counsel of those who are older than us? To think that we can survive without counsel is foolish. 1 Kings 12, 1-15, common story, a perfect example of Rehoboam going and turning away from the counsel of the elders. And you know, he rebukes the people, and what ends up happening is Jeroboam and all them split off. It was because Rehoboam didn't listen to the counsel of his elders. But he listened to those who he was growing up with, his peers. To forsake the counsel of our elders is just simply foolish. Simply foolish. But I do want to make this point. That we have a tendency as young people to be intimidated by those who are older than us. And I don't know if you felt that way, those of you who are older in the congregation, I don't know if you felt that way when you were younger. But I know that that's a very real thing that Satan uses to try to get us away from the counsel of our elders. He tries to get us to be intimidated by those who are older than us. He tries to create that disconnect. We have to recognize, as young people, that our elders have been where we are right now before. And not only that, but they've been farther, most of them. Why not turn to our elders? We shouldn't be intimidated by them, but recognize that if we come to them for help, they want to help us. They want to help you. Now I encourage you, go to those who are older in the congregation. If you need help with something, ask them for help. They've been there. They've done that. Go to them. Are we seeking the counsel of our elders? I think that's a huge point. As young people, we need to be seeking the counsel of our elders. We need that, guys. That's important. Because if we don't have that, we have nothing really to stand on. Really. Of course, we have the Word of God. And that's invaluable. But to see someone who's done it, who's been there, and who's gone farther, who's 20, 30 years ahead of you, and they're still faithful to the Lord, and they still are striving to obey Him, that means something. That's something that we need. We need that. Third point I want to make about the need for the old in the congregation is their knowledge of the Word. 1 John 2, 13. You turn your Bibles there. 1 John 2, 13. I put 13a and 14a, meaning the beginning of the verse. I didn't want to read necessarily the whole verse. But he says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. And then 14a, he says pretty much the same thing. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. Well, what does it mean to truly know God? Look at chapter 2, verse 3. It says, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. We need to be taught by people who are striving to obey God. And that kind of ties in with what I've been talking about already. We need that example. We need that counsel. We need that example of people who are striving to not only just understand what God teaches, but actually live it out in their life. We need that. And we need their knowledge of what God has commanded. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, this is Paul's encouragement to Timothy. It says, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul says, Timothy, remember what I taught you. Remember how I directed you to teach the truth. Paul appealed to Timothy to follow the teaching that he had been taught from the beginning. As young people, we need the teaching of our elders in order to really know and to understand the will of God more clearly. We need that. We need the wisdom of people who've been studying the Word of God for 30 years versus us who've been studying it for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. We need that. Go to them. Ask them for a clear understanding of the Word. As young people, are we striving to learn and glean from the knowledge of those who are older than us? These are some thoughts, maybe from the young person's perspective, things that we need to look to the older people for. Look to their example. Look to them for counsel. Look to them for a better understanding of the Word of God. Now I kind of want to transition and talk about the need of the old for the young. The old need our example too. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, we read this passage a lot. Let's read it together. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 16, in light of the fact that those who are older than us need our example. It says, prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on you. No one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Young people, we can be an example. We can. And we can encourage those who are older than us. And it's not just some pesky little, that's good that's cute that guy's trying to live a good life. You know, that's cute. No. Paul says, be an example in your faith, in your speech, your conduct, your love, your purity, all across the board. Show yourself a shining example of what a Christian should be. That's a high calling. You know what, oftentimes, now let me talk to the young people here for a second. You know what oftentimes we say? Well, we say, I'm 23 years old, and I look at the people who are 30, and you know, they really got that under control, most of them. And so by the time I get 30, that's when I'll start, you know, kind of taking it more seriously. That's when I'll have it under control. That's when I'll have it, a better handle on that. But how does Paul talk to Timothy about that? He says, you show yourself to be an example of what it means to be a person of purity, of faith, of love, of conduct, of speech. That's a high calling. Those who are older than us need our example. They need our zeal. They need our love. Kind of going along with what Jeremy talked about this morning. Matthew 18, 1 through 6. Says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. Everyone, even the smallest child, can make an impact in the kingdom of God. Everybody. You know what? This isn't just an example. Matthew, reading this, Matthew 18, isn't just an example of those who are, 35 and above, or 40 and above, or 45. I'm not trying to make any limits on who's old here. But this isn't just an example of those people looking to people my age. But this is people my age looking to the example of people who are in high school. And people in high school looking to the people who are in middle school. People in middle school looking to people who are in elementary. People in elementary noticing. It's a cascade. It's noticing those who are younger than you, no matter what age you are. I was talking to Jeremy about his lesson afterwards. And we were talking about, I was mentioning how I can't wait to have kids. Because there's so many lessons that can be learned. And we have to recognize that. Is that no matter what age we're at, not just the older looking to the younger, but it's the younger looking to the even younger at their example. We need to be that shining example, though, to those who are older than us, no matter what age we are. This is the point I'm trying to make. In Philippians 2:20, Paul says about Timothy, he says, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Now, that's a pretty high statement, high compliment from Paul to be made about a young man, Timothy. But even in his young age, Timothy set such an example of love and dedication that Paul referred to him as having no one else like him. And that's saying something. You know, this is the type of example we as young people ought to be striving to be remembered for. An example of love, an example of faith, an example of purity, one that is really unparalleled to any other. Do those, and it's not about pride, it's not about selfish glory, but to those who are older than you look at you and say, that's an outstanding young woman. That's an outstanding young man. Now, talking specifically to the older people, as those older in the church, do we dismiss the example of those who are younger than us? Do we try to glean from it? Do we see value in those who are younger than us? Or do we try to glean from their example? Second point I want to make, and this may be kind of weird. Y'all might think it weird. So I'm trying to fix this thing. Y'all might think this weird, but they need our physical strength. In Acts 19:22, 1 Corinthians 4:17, Philippians 2:19, and 1 Thessalonians 3:6, all mention Paul sending Timothy to the brethren that were in those certain areas. Now, Paul sent several people to several different places, and he himself went to different places, and I think a lot of times for the sake of the fact that he couldn't be in more than one place at once. But I still think the point holds true that Paul used Timothy's strength of youth for the work of the kingdom. And I have those passages listed there again if you want to write them down. And just as a side point, as young people, our elders in the church, the elders of leading the church, but just elders in general, have the right and should have the right to utilize our strength of youth for the work of the kingdom and for service. And that's something that we should be offering. We should be offering our physical strength, our youth, our health to those who are older. Because this is about the growth of the body. This is about the growth of the kingdom. So if we can be used in that way, then that's wonderful. But I think that's maybe something we don't think a lot about, but as young people, are we offering our strength of youth for the work and service of our older brethren? I think that's something that we need to think about. And I think that the older brethren would attest to the fact that some of them cannot get around like they used to. And they need us. They need our strength. They need our youth to do some things for the work, even of the kingdom of God, that they may not be able to do. We need to offer ourselves for that. And they need us for the spread of the word. I want to read a few passages here. 1 Corinthians 4:14-17. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Philippians 2:19-23. Philippians 2, 19 through 23. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. And then jumping down to verses 4 through 6. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Verses 4 through 6. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. And he goes on to talk about that among the Thessalonians. The point I'm trying to make here is that Paul trusted Timothy. Paul trusted Timothy to go to these places and teach what he had been teaching. And even though he was a youth, he trusted that Timothy knew what he was talking about. He knew what was right and what was wrong, and was going to correct these brethren in the areas that they needed to be corrected in, and he was going to encourage in the areas that they needed to be encouraged in. Paul trusted Timothy. And this same trust should be found among us. As young people, we should be found worthy of this trust by demonstrating a proper knowledge and a proper understanding of the Word, and a true love for God and a true love for others. We need to be working for that. We need to be found worthy of that trust. Now, it is important that the older people in our congregation and in the church as a whole do trust us. But we need to be found worthy of that. And in 1 Timothy 4, going back to 1 Timothy 4, starting verse 13, Paul understood this. Paul understood that Timothy still had room to grow in. And as a young man, he still needed to be growing. And verse 13, it says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." Paul understood that it was going to take a lot of effort from Timothy. We have to understand that. It's going to take a lot of effort to be found worthy of a proper understanding, a proper teaching of the doctrine of Christ. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take us being absorbed in those things. It's going to take us persevering in these things, taking pains with these things, as Paul says to Timothy. That's what we need to be striving for. Let's make it evident in our lives. Make these things evident in our lives so that we can be entrusted by our elders with the spreading of the gospel. So, as older people, are we trusting in the youth of our congregation to do the work faithfully? And what can we do, what can you do to help that grow? And as younger people, do we find ourselves trustworthy in the spread and work of the gospel? I think this is a very important point. We need to be found trustworthy, but we need to be trusted. The final point I want to make this idea of a perfect body. We're all members of the body. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." And that was the verse I had on the first slide. By leaning on and learning from one another, those who are older than us, leaning on us as young people, and those of us who are younger, leaning on those of us who are older, we can gain so much from one another. We really can. Just three quick points, I think, that we can gain from each other, and it's having the strength to stand against sin. By leaning on each other, we can have that strength. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." When you're struggling with sin, who is it that you go to first? Is it typically a peer? It's that way with me. If there's a sin that I'm really battling, I'm really fighting and struggling with, my first inclination is to go to a peer. But I want to encourage us to go to those of us who are younger, to go to those of us who are older. Seek that counsel. Seek that example. Seek that wisdom. Seek their knowledge of the Word. In that you will find so much more strength to fight sin. You know, different struggles plague different generations. But by leaning on one another, we can gain the strength that we need to fight the temptations of our age. I think also by leaning on one another, we can find unity in the Spirit. Philippians 1, verse 27 says, "Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now, going down to chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." In our service to one another, we become a unified body. We become united. But I think, I've never thought about this before until I was studying this, but I think a lot of times, I know for me, it really takes some real humbling of myself to go to those who are older than me and serve them and be patient with them. It takes real humility. And I would imagine it's the same way vice versa. As an older person, it can be hard to humble yourself maybe and say, "I don't really want to help that younger person. They should be, you know, on their own." I don't know. I haven't been there. But I know that from the younger person to the older person, it really takes some humility to show that patience. Maybe, I don't know, whatever it might be. Maybe you're helping them get around at their house. When you're young, you move fast and quick. You get up whenever you want. When you're old, you don't. And so it can be hard to be patient with someone like that. Yeah, that's just a small example. But I think it really takes some true humbling of ourselves to serve the opposite generation, if that's the way to say it. Are we striving to humbly serve each other's generation, so that we can become unified in the Spirit? And the last quick point, I don't have a lot of time, but hurry with this. By leaning and learning from one another, we can have maturity in Christ. In Ephesians 4, and I do want to read all these verses because I think they're important here. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13, he says, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What is our ultimate goal? What is our ultimate goal? It's to be within a unified body, a unified faith. And ultimately, our goal is to grow into the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's a beautiful image. Everybody doing their part so that we all grow up into one unified image of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. No matter our age, we're called to grow as a unified body. So are we a mature body? We a mature and perfect body. Just in conclusion, we need each other. Elders, not just the elders of the congregation, but those of you who are older in the congregation, we need your example. We need your counsel. We need your knowledge. We need it as young people to guide us. Those of us who are younger, we need to be an example. We need to offer the strength of our youth, and we need to show ourselves worthy of the entrustment of the work of God. And as I mentioned there at the end, together we can grow into the full measure of Christ, into a perfect body, into a beautiful bride to be presented to Him in the last day. A day in which there will be no age difference. Day in which we will all be young. I remember this, but I remember when I was down at Florida College, there's a good friend of mine. He's older, in his 60s, and he plays racquetball with the guys down there at FC. He's not married. And I remember he sent out an email to me and a few guys one year when I was down there. And I remember at the end of the email, he said something to the effect of, "I look forward to a day in which I will be the same age as you all." That was beautiful to me. I saved that. I think I still have it on my computer somewhere if I could ever find it. That was beautiful to me. One day where we all will have no age difference, but be beautifully united in Christ for eternity. What is your attitude toward the generation above or below you? Are they an asset or are they a liability? We have to ask ourselves that question. I think no matter how old we are, we have to ask ourselves that question. I encourage you tonight, lean on those who are older than you. Lean on those who are younger than you, so that we can grow into that perfect, mature body that Jesus wants us to be. If there's anybody tonight who wants to make their life part of that body, we encourage you. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life, to be unified with this congregation and with the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. We ask you, we encourage you to do that tonight as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation.